Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the City of Palm Coast City Council Workshop. Today is Tuesday, October the 11th, 2022. It is now 9 a.m., and we are in the community wing of City Hall. If you would all please rise and join me for our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if the clerk would call the roll, please.
Mayor Elfin.
Present.
Vice Mayor Branquino.
Right here.
Councilmember Danko.
Here.
Councilmember Finelli.
Present.
Councilmember Clufus is absent.
Thank you. So we will move to the public participation of our workshop this morning in order for city staff to be able to respond to your questions or concerns. Please fill out a comment card with your contact information. The comment cards can be found on the table near the agendas or from the communications director sitting in the back of the room. Public participation shall be held in accordance with Section 286.0114 Florida statutes and pursuant to the City Council's meeting policies and procedures. Each speaker shall at the podium provide their name and may speak for up to 3 minutes. The public may provide comments to the City Council relative to matters not on the agenda at the times indicated in this agenda. Following any comments from the public, there may be discussion by the City Council. When addressing the City Council on specific enumerated agenda items, speakers shall direct all comments to the mayor, make their comments concise and to the point, not speak more than once on the same subject, not by speech or otherwise delay or interrupt the proceedings or the peace of the City Council. Obey the orders of the mayor or the City Council, and not make any irrelevant, impertinent, or slanderous comments while addressing the City Council, which, pursuant to council rules, shall be considered disorderly. Any person who becomes disorderly or who fails to confine his or her comments to the identified subject or business shall be cautioned by the mayor and thereafter must conclude his or her remarks on the subject within the remaining designated time limit. Any speaker failing to comply as cautioned shall be barred from making any additional comments during the meeting and may be removed as necessary for the remainder of the meeting. So at this time, I would ask any members of the public that would like to come forward and make public comment, please approach the podium. Yes, sir.
Steve Carr, Palm Coast. It looks like the debris pickup is going on pretty well. I mean, it might be a little slow for some of us, but it looks like it's doing well. Some of the streets in the F section, I noticed that they have where around the manholes that the pavement has sort of sunk, and you got bumps, I reckon you would say, or and it, when you're driving them, some of them. So I don't know, y'all talked to, there was a thing about resurfacing, about some vehicle that went around and mapped about the resurfacing. I'd like to know where I could find that information. Also, I hope y'all are really digging deep into how some of these other cities in Florida are using traffic calming methods to reduce speeding in residential neighborhoods. The more I'm out there on Nextdoor, the more I hear about people that talk about speeding in their neighborhoods. And just hope you're in touch with some of the other cities that are using traffic calming. And please consider it for Palm Coast. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next speaker, please.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. Would I be able to give you paperwork to review anything?
Sure. Well, if you would give it to the clerk, she'll pass it out,
and then.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
and just introduce yourself at the podium for us.
Yes, sir. My name is Joanna McAsey, and I live in the S section, and I've been a resident for about 8 years, and I've been in Florida for close to 15 years. And I'm here to speak with you today because I have a code enforcement violation that I drove to for the hearing last week. And unfortunately, I was about 10 and a half minutes late because my child spilled milk all over my clothes on the way here, so I had my third outfit before I came to this building, and I didn't realize your meetings were so short when I called ahead. What I really wanted to talk to you about is the hurricane. I called on the phone and they said, well, the hurricane never came to our county. We only had a tropical storm. And I thought, well, why are we even having meetings this week? This is absolutely crazy. I have, like, you know, that grief anxiety because all my friends live in different counties and they've been affected so much. I flew into Orlando on almost the last flight before the storm hit. And I didn't get to Orlando until Tuesday because I just by coincidence was at a wedding. So I flew into Orlando that Tuesday morning at 7:30 a.m., picked up my car, drove it to Palm Coast, and I stopped in Daytona. My girlfriend just had surgery. I had to drive her around, and then I had a Bible in my suitcase because one of our relatives, we just found out that married into the family, her brother was actually in the Daytona Halifax ICU, and he was probably gonna have only a few more days to live. So I had a friend carry it over to the hospital for me because my son was in the car sleeping and I didn't wanna wake him up because that was his first flight ever. So long story even longer, you know. Then I had all these other issues because all my friends in other counties, I worked a bunch of night shifts because my coworker had 8 inches of water in his house, so I took his shift. My shift starts Wednesday to Saturday, and I worked 10 hours at the water plant in Ormond. So I was on emergency hurricane duty 2 days off, 2 days on. I was the alternate shift, and I worked from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. the first day on Friday, and the second day I worked from 8 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. And then I had to do that night shift the following Monday. So unfortunately, it wasn't a really good week, and that's just the icing on the cake. So I would like those hearings rescheduled, please. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your comment.
Yeah, thank you.
Next, yes, sir. Next speaker, please.
Good morning, Robin McDonald, Palm Coast. In the 72 years that I've been on this earth, on a rare occasion, very rare, I make a mistake. I don't argue unless I know I'm 100% right. And if I think that I'm right, I'm gonna argue with you till I'm blue in the face. But if I'm wrong, and I know I'm wrong, I'm gonna publicly apologize to whoever I wronged so that hopefully this other person will understand that it's not all about me. Last week, first of all, I did something that I shouldn't have done. All your comments are supposed to be addressed to the mayor, and I kind of took over the meeting, sort of, and I made everybody stand up for Jerry Forte. And I don't care who the brother is, I'm gonna make that same mistake again, so I'm letting you know I'm gonna do it again at some point. But the main reason I came up this morning was a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't last week, it may have been the week before, I made a comment that was wrong, and I'd like to publicly, I went to this person and I apologize, and I hope this individual will accept my apology, because he's sitting up at the dais right now. And so I'd like to publicly apologize to Councilman Danko, because I had been given the wrong information that he had said that he was opposed to hiring firefighters, police officers, and EMS workers. Well, I don't know if Councilman Danko or anybody else on the council knows, but I wouldn't be standing here this morning if it wasn't for the firefighters, EMS, and Flagler County Sheriff. I'd be dead. There'd be no ifs, ands, or buts. I'd be dead. And so in the 25 seconds I have left, Councilman Danko, I offer you my apology. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. And I'd just like to know that, I guess maybe I'm doing this today, because today would have been my dad's birthday. He would have been 115 years old. So thank you. I apologize.
Thank you for your comment. And Mr. McDonough, we appreciate your service on the pension board. Thank you very much. Is there another speaker that would like to address City Council at this time? Yes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Jason Howard. I'm resident of 121 Cimarron Drive, Palm Coast. My friend Al has beaten down my door several times over the last two or three months, and I've been very impressed by the actions that he's taken in regard to the traffic situations on Cimarron Drive. It's about a mile and a quarter stretch from entrance from Palm Harbor to the dead end into the gated community. I live at one of the corners on Comanche and Cimarron. I have a wife and a 9-year-old and 11-year-old daughter. Neither of them are permitted to come off my driveway onto Cimarron, period. I witness on a daily basis, Al tells me it's 3,000 to 4,000 cars a day. I witness on a daily basis cars doing plus 50 miles an hour several times a day. I've been almost hit and struck walking my dog several times. I've had vocal altercations with people driving back and forth and the goings and back to and from anytime I walk a dog. It's almost ridiculous to the point where I've never seen anything like this in my life. And something needs to be taken and done pretty quickly, because that 9 or 11-year-old can die just as quickly as any other child on that street, which I see zero children on that street. I've studied the property values on that street. I would never make another dollar investment on that street. I would never, ever advise anyone to live on that street for any reason whatsoever, and that is solely due to the traffic. If you look at the properties themselves physically from an aesthetic level or point of view, you can certainly see the differentiation from that street to anywhere else in the neighborhood. And to me, that is a direct correlation between the literal lack of wanting to live anywhere that resembles that highway that we call a residential neighborhood. So, Al tells me there's proposals on sidewalks. He tells me this is how much it's going to cost per stretch. I'm willing to help out, but I would like to see and like to know before I participate in any of this that there's actual bandwidth to where we actually can see a result come off this. I understand the project doesn't happen overnight, and I understand that the project here, but hopefully this project can be addressed before we're talking about a funeral, before we're talking about a situation, before we're talking about anything, simply because it's getting almost insane on a nightly level. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Are there any other members of the public that would like to address the City Council at this time? Seeing no one come forward, I'll close the public comment section of the agenda, and we will move on to presentations before we begin this morning, I want to take a moment to explain City Council's objectives for having workshops every month. The Council meets in workshops to be well informed of each item to be brought before the City Council and to make the best determination on behalf of all residents. City staff presents detailed information during the workshops and provides a summary background for each item as well as any additional documents relative to the item. The City Council can then have a meaningful, collaborative, healthy discussion on each item presented. This way, facts and knowledge can be obtained prior to the next business meeting, where City Council then makes the best determination in the interest of the citizens' health, safety, and welfare on each item. As we continue to grow as a collaborative council and follow all council meeting policies and procedures, I will always do my best to make sure that every City Council member has an opportunity to bring forth individual opinions. Our constituents are expecting council to communicate cohesively and with civility to serve our community. The workshops are a valuable tool to present and discuss our individual opinions on behalf of all residents and achieve these objectives. We may not agree with each other, but that is one advantage of the workshops, to evaluate all the information necessary in advance of a decision, a motion, and a vote at our next business meeting. I hope that we will all understand the purpose of these workshops, and I invite all opinions at all times on the dais. And just to back up for a second, City Manager, your staff has contact information for the folks that had questions and spoke.
Yes, those that filled out the comment card, we have your contact information. I did see some of our staff interacting with some of the speakers before
very
they
good.
Left
Thank
today.
You. Perfect.
Mr.
Very
Mayor,
yes,
if I may, before we proceed, I just want to say, Ms. McDonald, apology accepted. Thank you, sir.
Very good. Thank you. With that, we will begin our first presentation. Our Chief of Staff, Mr. DiLorenzo, please proceed.
Good morning, Mayor, City Council. In your packet today and for consideration next week, you have three interlocal agreements with Flagler County. This single presentation is going to cover all three. They're very similar. They are all related to impact fees collected by the county, and they're asking us to collect them for them as a pass-through. And as you are aware, impact fees are one-time charges applied to new development, and they can only be used for capacity improvement and not for operational costs. In December of 2021, after a comprehensive study, Flagler County, through Ordinance 2021-09, approved a series of new impact fees, and they delayed the collection of those until March the 15th, and so the county has been collecting them since then. Those included transportation, parks and recreation, law enforcement, fire rescue, emergency medical services, and the library systems. And as I said, that ordinance requests that municipalities collect on the county's behalf and remit them to them. This is a chart that shows which fees are going to be collected by each municipality if they pass the interlocal agreement. As you know, we already collect the educational facilities impact fee, and we are asked to collect the emergency medical services, law enforcement, and library. Impact fees, as you know, the fee itself is tied back to the use of the property, and I've provided for you here the residential uses in the city of Palm Coast, because the commercial uses have a very long list depending on what they are. You can find those in your packet by the sections that are referenced here. For the law enforcement, you can find them at 17-62, and for EMS at 17-82 in the full study. And then the library system is only collected by for residential, because there isn't an impact for a commercial project on the library system, only the people who reside in the county.
county. So the fees that are that were adopted by the county for law enforcement are $218 for a single-family residence and $111 for a multifamily residence. For EMS, $62 for single-family and $32 for multifamily. And for the library system, $268 for a single-family and $139 for a multifamily. And that concludes my presentation. However, Adam Mengel, the Community Development Director for Flagler County, is here, who can answer any specific questions about the impact fee ordinance and the study.
So just a couple of points in summary. One, this is an administrative ask on behalf of the county and the distinguished Mr. Mengel, who was, thank you for coming here this morning. This is yet another example of, at the administrative level, ways that we can further collaborate with Flagler County to help each other. Folks that are paying these fees will gravitate or must come to the city for their permitting, so it just is common sense that we would take care of the collection on behalf of the county while that's going on. So in my mind, it's a common sense routine, and it's always good to work with the county on these issues.
Yes, sir, that's correct. And as you can see, the ones that we're not being asked to collect are ones that we collect on our own behalf, transportation impact fees that we collect for ourselves, parks and rec that we collect for ourselves, and a fire rescue that we collect.
Vice Mayor?
Just live and learn. When you look at the emergency medical single-family homes, we collect $62 for the emergency medical. For the library system, we charge $268. Live and learn. I would never thought this would be. I thought it would be the other way around. But I mean, it's not our baby; it's their baby. But the thing is that library system $268.
So you asked
the expense.
No. You asked exactly the same question and had the same impression that I had yesterday when I asked that same question. And the answer that came back, and you'll have to correct me if I misstate it, was that these fee numbers are based on a study, as all major projects and capital investments are made on, and the study actually dictates the fee amount. That's what I learned yesterday, but I had exactly the same question.
I don't know who did that study, but I'm not learning much about that one anyway. So it still makes no sense for me. But then again, it's not our baby, it's the county's baby. They do whatever they want.
Gentlemen, additional questions? Pretty straightforward, I think. Very good. All right. Thank you, Mr. DiLorenzo. And Mr. Mengel, thank you very much for coming to visit. I hope you'll visit us even more often. With that, we'll move forward to number two on the item. And do we need to read this in?
We're in a workshop. We don't have to. If you'd like me to do it, I can. I didn't read in number
so
one.
Yeah, you didn't. So let me take care of it. Number two is a resolution approving an number four is a resolution approving a master services agreement with sports facilities companies for the sports complex feasibility study moving towards the frontier.
Mayor, if I may, just for a point of clarification, what Mr. DiLorenzo was discussing were items E1 through 3 on the agenda. Those are basically, it's the same agreement, just a different fee for each one.
I thought he said that, though. I thought he cleared that at the beginning, didn't you?
Well, she's just reinforcing it.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't read any of the titles in, so I just wanted to reinforce that. That's why we're on four now.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council.
Assistant City Manager, Ms. Johnson, begin her presentation, please.
Yes, sir. So we wanted to take this opportunity to give you kind of some insight on where we are with the council priority, which specifically is A5. Lauren Johnson, Assistant City Manager, and Jason DiLorenzo, Chief of Staff. So if you recall back from our strategic planning process, City Council adopted this priority for the westward expansion, being guided by master planning for smart managed growth. Economic development is driven by town center regional destination initiatives. Economic growth and community marketing are supported by a competitive youth sport activity centers catering to young athletes, families, fans from regional and distance locations. When we came to you this summer on how we were going to achieve that goal, we presented some projected outcomes, such as a conceptual master plan of Matanzas Woods flyover. We would secure funding and commence construction, deliver a youth sports activity center feasibility study, and then in collaboration of Council Priority C2, staff will work in conjunction with local recreation needs and regional impacts. And that is what we are here today, is to specifically discuss the youth sports activity center feasibility study.
Well, we're going to take this opportunity to remind you on our progress on the Matanzas Woods flyover, as there's a potential sitting for the sports complex on the west side. So as you'll remember, we are...
These are youth sports competition fields, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. As you'll remember, we are reviewing multiple locations for access to the west along Matanzas Woods Parkway, Palm Coast Parkway, and Whiteview Parkway, with Matanzas Woods being our primary focus right now. And we have those 30,000 plus acres of unimproved lands to the west of the railroad tracks. And as we begin to plan those, we're going to be looking for opportunities for conservation, wildlife habitat corridors, future water sources for the city, and of course a slew of economic growth opportunities, including the sports complex and the tourism that can be generated by it. This is an image you've seen before of our concept plan for the flyover. This is an extension to the west of Matanzas Woods Parkway from the DOT roundabout and some reconfiguring, and it's bordered to the south by our Maintenance Operations Center. Here are a few more images of what that might look like. We're still looking for a target start date of December 2022, and it's approximately a two-year build.
For your council consideration and approval at your next business meeting would be this master services agreement with Sports Facilities Company. Their scope of work and schedule includes two different tasks. One is a market and competitive analysis. This scope includes reviewing regional market demand, potential economic benefit in sports tourism, and future facility programming. The schedule will last approximately 12 weeks. Task two is contingent upon the completion of task one, so we want to make sure we're satisfied with that objective first. And we're going to give you a little bit of insight about Sports Facilities Companies. They have 19 years of experience. They've served 2,000 plus communities. Their corporate offices are in Clearwater, Florida. They've done strategic planning for more than $15 billion of sports and recreation assets. And they partner with Halif Associates, and they're a full service engineering and architecture firm. And these are two facilities that they have assisted in their sports feasibility, which is the public sports park located in Panama City Beach. And this has those competitive youth sports fields you were talking about, Mayor. An annual economic impact of $23 million, and this was also COVID impacted. And then also Paradise Coast Sports Complex, which is in Naples, Florida. And even after Hurricane Ian, this facility has reopened.
The numbers that you're going through are obviously not just the kids, young adults competitively playing their sports, but it's the families that transport them and stay in our community for some number of nights and take advantage of the amenities we have to offer, including restaurants, hotels, and on and on and on.
Exactly. And that concludes our presentation, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
So I find the project very exciting, obviously, and two words just kind of popped into my mind during your presentation, so I'll have to refer to it as the M&M concept. So not only, first of all, what you just described in terms of the youth competition athletic fields is a magnet and also a catalyst. It's a catalyst because it is the first step in the improvement of the unimproved property that you described. But it is a magnet for all of these folks and families that are currently driving right past us in very large numbers, and for Mr. Cryer's benefit, with very large traffic counts down to Palm Beach County. So there's no reason those folks should have to spend all that gas. They can stop here halfway and enjoy their sports competitions here while enjoying all of the beauty of the city of Palm Coast. Secondly, the way you're going about achieving this project, first with the catalyst and then with the future development of all the business entities and future residential components of the expansion, it can become, and I think will become, a model for the state of Florida by denoting the Greenway and Animal Quarters right up front, staking those out, and doing our development work around that. We know what our priority is. This will become a model for smart growth, smart managed growth for the future. And I hope that many communities around the state will look to us for the great work that we all are able to achieve here. So I do understand that the study is necessary to plan it out, because it's a very complicated process which will take not 2 years but many, many years thereafter after this portion is done. So to get started correctly and do it right, we have very little wiggle room to make any mistakes, because our future generations are entirely dependent on the decisions that we make here in these next months and years.
I just want to say that there's no such thing as a bad penny invested in kids. Every single cent we invest over here in the kids, it's good. Good for everything. Plus, the economic impact, which I call positive impacts. Those impacts that they're going to bring are unreal, especially for the business. Okay, and 113,000 invest to save. I think that that's the type of money that we should be investing a lot, because again, that's the kids. And if we don't care for the kids, we don't care for the future. So I just happened to think. The only question I had was this sports facilities companies. Is that more than one company?
No.
Or just the name of the company?
Just the name of
it's all plural. That's the reason why I'm asking.
Okay. Yes.
Just one company. All right. Thank you. That was good. My only doubt.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Gentlemen, comments, questions?
I have to say I'm really excited to see something like this possibly come to Flagler County, something that would target families and make us a regional attraction for outdoor sports, right, and outdoor sporting events. One question I did have is, will this study help us to determine what sports we're looking to target, which ones are the most feasible and would attract the most families to our area?
Yes, sir. That is included in their scope of service.
Excellent. And then the economic impact, a positive economic impact, bringing families into our community for outdoor activities and events, which are so important, while keeping that environmental and that forward-thinking process in place. So thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
I just have one final comment, and this is probably more for the media, in order to help some of our residents be less confused about the geography of all of this. We've been using the term west or westward. Some folks, especially those that have been in the area for a long time, may think of the southern extremities of the county as the westward part. That's not what we're talking about. So I'd like us to kind of move away from using the word west or westward and think about, you know, we have a working name of the frontier now. We'll figure out what makes sense better. But I've had a lot of questions about, you know, interfering with that southern westward part of the county. That's not where this is positioned. So we'll move away from kind of that term as we go forward a little bit.
I just want to tell Councilman Finelli, I'm sorry, no skiing.
Water skiing.
Hate to break it to you, but no skiing.
Very good. All right, listen, thank you both for the presentation. Looking forward to much more excitement in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We now move to item number 5, which will be discussion of a resolution approving the cultural arts grants for the fiscal year 2022 through 23.
All righty. Well, good morning, Mayor, City Council. James Hurst, Parks and Recreation Director. With me today for the first time presenting the council is Caitlin Anderson.
She's just so everybody knows, that's the busiest guy in town right now, getting everything back to normal.
Caitlin is our senior staff assistant, and she was immense in helping me with this cultural art grant. And today we are presenting recommendations for this fiscal year's cultural art grant. So we'll go ahead and get started. So the first part, just a little bit of overview and history. This program started in 2002. We funded cultural art programs in the city of Palm Coast for city-based organizations. Previous fiscal year, it was $30,000 approved in the 22 budget. General requirements were for 501c3 tax-exempt organizations, city-based organizations, programs and community need to be open to the general public, and then they had to participate in one of our programs and events inside of our art district. This year for 23, we made a few changes. We introduced a tier system, so there's a tier 1 and a tier 2. Tier 1 focused more on the economic impact into our city and our county. So those that were going to have hotel stays and, you know, they had to present to us hotel stays, how many people coming, things like that. It was a bit hard this year with the first year, but those who were rewarded the money presented those pretty well. And then tier 2 is back to our previous one with our local organizations. We also expanded the pool to the Flagler County-based organizations, but their event needed to be conducted within Palm Coast. Caitlin did a good job of introducing a rubric scoring system, which she will present in the next couple of slides. And then we increased the budget from 30 to 50. Tier 1 was allocated 20,000, and then tier 2 was allocated 30,000. And then I'll go ahead and switch it over to Caitlin.
So as James said, our tier one was for economic impact. So we looked for program attendance, ticket sales, and hotel stays. We also looked for scope of a program we wanted to see about the organization and what they wanted to bring to as a cultural art program. And then we also wanted to see a marketing plan from them, see how they'll utilize grant funds, because they have to use 10% towards marketing. Tier two, again, was as we always do, so we want to know about like the scope and the program, like the organizations and what they wanted to bring to us, and then also their marketing plan as well. We worked with our communications department to put out a post to see on our our Palm Coast Gov website to see like if we can get any new applications or, you know, pull back old applicants as well. We had a public meeting held on September 16th. James, Brittany, and I were for Parks and Rec. We had Jose from Community Development, Casey from Procurement, and Kiana as well, one of the city manager interns, she also helped. Some of the review criteria that also went in hand with the rubrics was, you know, seeing event slash program that has cultural art themes and promotes the cultural arts. We want to see expenses directly related to the program and event. 10%, as I said before, needs to be used for marketing, and the event must take place in the fiscal year 23, and evidence of hotel and hotel stays and ticket sales.
All right, so now we'll get into the recommendations. First one is tier one. The requested amount was $20,000. We rewarded $15,000 within this tier. We had each applicant that was rewarded, the sum was $5,000. Unfortunately, we had a applicant that was not awarded this money due to just incomplete information in regards to economic impact, and then also using some of these funds for non-allowable expenses. And we'll get into some more around two following next couple of slides as well. Tier two, there was a requested amount of $27,000, and we recommended $24,000. Again, each applicant that was rewarded was rewarded the entire $3,000. And then, unfortunately, another organization expressed in their application that they were going to use the funds for non-allowable expenses. So, unfortunately, the review team decided not to reward them the money. So this kind of gets into our next steps. So we do have $11,000 remaining in our cultural arts fund. So we as a team decided to do another open call for round two. So then we also decided as a team for those people that were not eligible in the first round, we'll be coming back. We will guide them, kind of give them the right information, work through them so they'll be ready for round two, and then hopefully we can, you know, give some of this grant money to them as well. So that's our plan for round two. We have a tentative date of October 20th where we will come in here as a public meeting. This could change just depending on timing, but that is our kind of future for the cultural art grants and the next step for round two. And that really concludes our presentation. Any questions?
So I do have a comment, and City Manager, really, I should probably direct it your way. For the year 2023 and 2024, I'm looking at the process, which very nicely done. You've got, you know, staff involved. Is there the possibility of holding a, I guess you would call it not a public hearing, a public workshop, invite the public in to comment on these projects in advance of staff's making their final decision? You know, with land development and with many other things, we invite the public either, you know, by ordinance or some other way to have the opportunity to participate in the discussion in advance of a decision. I don't know if it's appropriate here or not. I just like you all to consider it if it's possible.
Thank you, Mayor. And for the applicants that do attend the meeting, we do invite the public as well to attend that to provide support or input.
Yeah, Denise is correct. Yeah, we September 16th is they could come in and talk about their event and discuss their application.
But we push it out there for all the public to be aware of if they choose to come. So it's transparency.
Correct.
And it also hopefully allows us to get an additional touch from the community on what their interests are.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Gentlemen, comments, questions?
Good job cleaning the course, the golf course, phenomenal.
Oh, no, thank you. That's Mitch and his staff. They did a fantastic job.
Still,
it's a lot of stuff to pick up. So,
on the Parks and Rec, and I just had a tournament there last Saturday, and was very, very
perfect. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you both for your presentation. Very nicely done. With that, we'll move to the final portion of public participation today. Are there any members of the public that would like to address City Council on any item that was not previously discussed today?
Robert McDonald, Palm Coast. I was going to say maybe 2-3 months ago, possibly, I approached the council and asked about the possibility that we were going to put a metal detectors in the main part of City Hall where the public comes in every day, not this part where we have security, which does a great job. So I'd like to find out, because I haven't been over there in a couple of months, so I'd like to find out if the council has either installed the metal detectors, and I know Vice Mayor is going to argue with me about this one, but that's okay. I understand that everybody who is anywhat connected to the city, whether it be council people, employees, anybody, has an access card that they can come through all of the doors without going through the metal detectors. I guess I'm old school. I don't trust anybody. And I think, and I may be wrong, just because you have a access card to come in through the doors, any door you want, I still think that everybody, from the city manager to the mayor, if this building is open to the public, or this section of the building is open to the public, I think everybody should come through that metal detector. Just like there's a security guard on the other side, but I think that everybody should go, there should be a metal detector. Unfortunately, this is the world that we live in, and I'm not saying that something's gonna happen, but there's a very old slogan in the fire service, and I'm gonna leave you with this. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And I just think that nobody in their right mind today is gonna object that if we put up metal detectors in this building to protect everybody who works upstairs, the mayor, the city clerk, the city manager. I want everybody to be protected. And we spend money sometimes on other things, but this is something that should be a high priority, so I'd like to know if anything was ever done.
Very good. Thank you for your comment. Any other members of the public like to address City Council at this time? Seeing no one come forward, I'll close this section of the agenda for the final public participation. I would ask City Council members, any final comments today?
I had just a few quickly. I want to thank Advent Health and the City of Palm Coast, all of the people that participated in the Pink Army 5K. That was something, that was an event that was very close to my heart this year. Thank you, Mr. Berryhill, Ms. Johnson, for coming out. Thank you, Mayor, for presenting everybody with their medals at the end of the 5K. It was a fantastic event, and thank you to all who participated in it. There's a domestic violence summit this Friday at Daytona State College. Please come out and learn more about the impacts of domestic violence. And this month is also Bullying Awareness Month, so we are bringing awareness to prevent bullying in our schools, but hopefully also in our community. So there's an initiative called Dude Be Nice. So I'd like to thank Mr. McDonald, because sometimes maybe if you made a comment that hurt somebody's feelings, the best thing you can do is apologize and move forward. So thank you. You are a great representative of that today.
Nicely said. Nicely said. Vice Mayor, any final comments?
Just one comment here. This week, Tiger Bay actually had a debate with all the candidates for positions in Flagler County. I unfortunately couldn't be present, but I saw it on YouTube. The thing that bothers me here is that was only between 17 and 22 people viewing it at a time. I later, because I lost the first few minutes, went to see it again. Total views of that YouTube film, it's only 251. Now, if you have this much of a responsibility to vote and you don't care how the debate goes, shame on us. People out there are to keep us straight and clean. You have to find out what we're made out of. And apparently, some of the people here didn't care. And we're talking about 90-some thousand that didn't care. I think you should pay attention to this type of things. please, you know, listen to the debates, listen to the people that are going to be representing you. So please keep that in mind and pay attention. We deserve, all the candidates deserve that you pay attention to them and make your judgments based on what they say, how they act and react to certain of those things. Thank you. That was my question.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I have some words today. I've been reserved in my comments to our city staff regarding their performance during Hurricane Ian and since then. City manager and I have composed a note or a letter with the intention of taking it around to every member of city staff in all of their departments to, on behalf of city council, show our appreciation. And the letter goes like this. When the words "thank you" are never enough, all of us tracked the path of Hurricane Ian as it tumbled around between the Florida's east and west coasts. Palm Coast residents grew anxious, and immediately our city staff put emergency preparedness action plans into motion. While each of you were busy preparing your own personal properties for a big storm, city staff had you covered. During the 96, 72, 48, and 24 hours in advance of landfall, they interpreted data, they assembled to forecast any community vulnerabilities, and they got down to work. Public Works and utility crews set up multiple sandbag locations and then secured susceptible areas across neighborhoods. Storm water crews lowered levels in canals to prepare for possible flooding. Parks and recreation crews primed parks and opened a daycare for city staff's children so that employees could work. IT flew drones to record the status of city infrastructure before the storm hit. Communications sent notices to the public reporting weather conditions and evacuations, helping them best to prepare. Customer service staff called centers to answer questions and calm concerns. Firefighters and first responders prepared equipment for possible rescue and missions. Community development worked with contractors to clean up construction sites and remove potential debris. Flagler County Sheriff's deputies remained on duty and vigilant to protect our community. Every city employee engaged consistently and flawlessly with Flagler County Emergency Management. And next, we all hunkered down. City Hall served well as our emergency operations center, where offices were filled with staff members who stayed for several days and nights. When Hurricane Ian cleared out on Friday morning, your staff stayed on the job, cleaning up and clearing debris, conveying information, listening to calls for help, and responding as quickly as possible. Together, we are all family in Palm Coast, and nothing proved this more than this natural emergency named Hurricane Ian. So we believe that a mere thanks is not enough. Let's all give a round of applause and salute the men and women who serve as our city employees. This sentence may include buzzwords, but it is true. Palm Coast may just be the safest city in all of Florida because it is protected by the most dedicated, experienced group of professionals in our entire state. We are truly blessed, and I offer this with sincere appreciation along with our city manager and, of course, all of our city council members. So I applaud you all. and we will deliver this message along with you to all of your staff between now and the beginning of next year as we go out and visit and engage. So thank you all. With that, does City Council have any, City Councilor have any final comments today?
No comments.
City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor, for extending and sharing that message. I deeply appreciate and City Council's support. We've heard that message consistently coming out of the storm. But I also would like to bring Chief Berryhill up because our support statewide hasn't stopped for those in relief, unfortunately, to the south of us.
Thank you, Ms. Bevan. I'd just like to give you, City Council, Mayor and Council, a quick update on some things that are going on throughout the state and part of our network through the Statewide Emergency Response Plan and the Florida Fire Chiefs Association. So we were reached out to, we're part of Region 3 in the Statewide Emergency Response Plan, which stretches coast to coast, essentially across northern central Florida, as far south as Marion, all the way up to Duval. And as part of Region 3, we were reached out to, as Ian was approaching, to see if we could stand up any resources. And obviously we said, we're part in the path. So we're preparing to protect ourselves. And that's actually part of what the plan is take care of yourself first, and then you'll be able to take care of a neighbor if needed. And so clearly Fort Myers Beach is one of the areas that was the most impacted. And it was closed, totally closed to the public through October the 8th. On October the 7th, a four-person advanced life support engine of Palm Coast firefighters responded to a staging point, and then they were in Fort Myers Beach, and they're still there today. They're responding to 911 calls as part of an engine strike team in the area, so they're essentially the first responders there. They're working with a few of the local groups. But when we got this request, we got anecdotal evidence or reports saying that people had been to work for the same time that the mayor said we came to work, but hadn't been home yet, hadn't seen their homes. That the first responders and public employees had been working throughout the clock. And essentially that area is just devastated. So our crews have been there responding to 911 calls, and then we got an additional, so they've been doing that since October the 9th. We heard from our contact in Region 3 who asked if we could extend through November 1st. We're not going to keep those same four individuals there, and we'll give them a pat on the back when they come home. We'll trade out some folks over that time, probably twice. But we believe we can support that. In addition, they had a specific need for paramedics who could do a transport function, which isn't a function that we do traditionally, even though we have the same training as those who do, and we have folks who have done it in their previous life. And one of our battalion chiefs said, I don't know if we can risk a firefighter, but if I go, we got some ways we can cover that a little bit. I'm willing to go and do that job. And so he has been a part of taking special needs shelters back to places where they can be taken care of. They've stood up a hospital at a local mall until the hospital can get power back. So he's been on a bus taking people with special medical needs back to their place. And that's the heart of our employees and certainly of our firefighters. And I'll continue to give updates as Ms. Bevan as we do that. But that's where we are today. And that's part of what we may hopefully never need, but is available to us if we ever have a significant wildfire season or experience a storm have a bigger impact than the one we just had. So any questions?
No. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, sir, for all you do.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. City Manager, does that conclude your remarks?
Yes, Mayor. No further comments.
Very good. Then I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you all.